You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jake Ricker. Alongside me, it's Joe Zamataro and Matt Gannon. Guys, welcome back to the show. We got an action-packed episode upcoming, talking about all of the games, looking ahead at what's coming up for the Lightning, our three stars of the week, and some New Jersey news that we get. Well, I say New Jersey news, but it's not really new news. But guys, welcome back. First and foremost, how are you doing today?
Doing really well. Raid season is pretty much over now for Gasparilla, but on one other quick note, I do want to thank everybody that tuned in for our live watch party. We had a last week, we had a blast watching the Rangers game, even though it was a result that we weren't celebrating. Definitely thank you for tuning in and hanging out.
Hey, it made a hard watch really fun. I guess it wasn't a hard watch, but it made, you know, a loss really fun. You know, it was one of the first times this year I've, you know, walked away from a rough game, you know, with a smile on my face. It was just a lot of fun doing it. So thank you to everybody that was watching. Thank you to everybody that was commenting. It was a lot of fun, and hopefully we'll be back doing that sometime soon.
And if you guys missed out on that one, don't forget to like and subscribe right here on YouTube or follow us on social media at RBLR Lightning, at RBLR Sports, so you don't miss out when we do another one of those, because we'll definitely be doing one in the future. It was a ton of fun. And like Joe and Matt said, thank you guys so much for tuning into that one. So before we get into the game recaps and talking about that Rangers game, I want to quickly bring this up. So as you guys know, we've mentioned this on one of the earlier podcasts before this, but the Lightning third jerseys, they got leaked. We were 100% sure if they were going to be real. We kind of talked about that a couple of times, but the Lightning did officially release a teaser trailer. And if you watch that teaser trailer, it certainly looks like those leaks are pretty accurate. There's a lot of cool things in them. You know, I'm not personally super excited about these jerseys. I try to hold my judgment, because sometimes when you look at them on the ice, they look a lot different. I will mention too, there are a couple of things that seem a little bit different from the leaks, from what we saw in the teaser. Like, for example, in the leaks, the laces on the jersey were black. And in the teaser, it certainly didn't look like the laces were black. Now, this was very low lighting and, you know, like ominous, not trying to actually show off the jersey. So I could be wrong there. But it looks like there could be a couple of differences. So I'm kind of hoping that some of those differences, they made some slight alterations, and maybe they look a little bit better than we saw with the leaks. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But we are getting new third jerseys very, very soon. It should be on the 15th against the Colorado Avalanche is when they will debut those jerseys. There's three dates for them right now, all in February. TBD if we're going to get those jerseys more than just those 3 days. But we'll see. How are you guys feeling, though, after seeing that teaser? Are you still not super excited about it?
Well, I saw your tweet, Jake, and I think you said it best. I'm going to hold my judgment until I get to see the whole thing. And I'm kind of I'm in the same boat, because, again, we saw the leaks. I wasn't all that impressed with it. But, again, it's a Fanatics jersey. Adidas is going to be making these jerseys, I believe. I think the deal expires next year when Fanatics is going to start taking over. So
I think you're right.
This might just be for the back half of the season, 30 games left or whatever. Who knows what it's going to be. But, again, I'm going to reserve my judgment until I get to see the full uniform on the ice, get to see the full jersey itself. I wasn't a fan of the leaked jersey. It just kind of looked like a practice jersey with a little bit of striping on it. Hopefully it's something better. Hopefully it's something that the whole kit looks good. You know, I don't know. Adidas has done a great job with everybody's jersey in the league. So I know it's Adidas and the Lightning, or I don't know how the whole jersey designing process goes, but again, the Lightning are usually pretty good with it. They keep it simple most of the time, ignoring the Storm jerseys, but they keep it simple most of the time. And simple is good, but you don't want to be so simple to where it looks like a practice jersey. That's what a lot of people were saying about the Blackout the Night jerseys, whatever those were called.
The Night.
Everybody, Disrupt the Night. Everybody called those practice jerseys.
I loved those when they came out. I still like them. I think it's probably my favorite of all of their jerseys. You know, it's kind of funny when you're teasing it a little bit there, Jake. You're talking about the New Jerseys, and it kind of made me think about New Jersey and the New Jersey jersey. You guys know the New Jersey jersey that just says Jersey across it. And, you know, the Lightning had the Bolt one, but just how silly it is that they're wearing a jersey that says Jersey. Across it. You ever see all the memes that they were generating from that? Like,
yes,
the helmet?
Like the hat.
They leaned into it.
Hat.
Yeah. So, I mean, as long as it's not as bad as that, you know, I wasn't really a big fan of, you know, I kind of liked, I guess I had mixed feelings about it saying Bolts back in the day. So, you know, we'll see how they look on ice. The Disrupt the Night ones, I thought, looked better on the ice than they did in the preview pictures. So, and they did change those from the initial release because the numbers were almost invisible when you're in the stands or even on TV.
Poor broadcasters.
yeah, that was rough. But they, you know, they modified them, made it bigger or made it better. And, you know, we'll see these when they actually get them into games.
So the funny thing about Disrupt the Night jerseys, those had very polar opposite reactions when you ask fans. People either loved them or people hated them. I remember putting out an article about the Lightning's record in the third jerseys, which actually it was pretty good, but just the mixed reaction of those jerseys was always so funny to me.
Everybody thought they were cursed for whatever reason. Like
they did, which they were.
I think we did a segment like last year about this, like going over the record, and it actually was pretty solid. Like it wasn't amazing or anything. It wasn't like Buffalo with the goat head jerseys, who's like unbeatable in their goat head jerseys. But everybody thought, great, we're losing tonight. It's Saturday night. We're losing. So
that's what I did like about those thirds is they were very consistent as to when they'd wear them. It was a weekend game. Mm-hmm. It was at home. They're wearing those thirds, and I'm not sure what the game plan is for the next ones, but they, you know, I thought it was a cool look for the weekend, and you know, they were much more stylistically modern than the actual regular jerseys, which I liked in a sense because it was something that was kind of like fresh and new yet not permanent, which I think is a great thing. You can take risks on a third and know that it, you know, would be just a couple of years, and then maybe it'll be looked at fondly, or maybe it'll just be something that you erase from your memory completely. You know, as long as we have our traditional, you know, blues and whites, you know, I'm up for whatever for those next ones.
Maybe that's why there's only three dates for these, is because they saw the reaction to the jerseys and they're like, all right, we won't wear them that much, maybe, or something.
is strange, you know.
It's so simple. If they want to sell jerseys, if they want to appease everybody, just give us the Gatsby jerseys. That's all we want.
They put themselves in a terrible spot because they make these Gasparilla jerseys that everybody loves. So anything they put out, people are going to be like, well, this is not the Gasparilla jersey. It just doesn't compare. And Matt, you made the comparison to the practice jerseys. And the last thing I'll say on this, but funny enough, the actual Lightning practice jerseys do have the – so if you didn't see the leaks for these jerseys and the teaser, they're using the patch on our current jerseys as the primary logo. The practice jerseys use that same kind of patch. It's not exactly the same, but that same kind of patch as the jersey. So if anything, these look like a practice jersey, which I do find kind of funny. But we'll see them in person, and we'll check them out. The Lightning are usually pretty good with jerseys. Couple of misses, though, but – I can tell you one place that you'll never find a miss. That's if you head over to shop.rblrsports.com, and you can check out our awesome Lightning, Bucks, Rays, Rowdies inspired team merch. And you can use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Those are amazing. I guarantee it. Be sure to go over, check over there. Shop.rblrsports.com. Links, as always, are in the description. A little bit early plug there, but had to do there talking about the jerseys. All right, let's get into some of these games. So the New York Rangers games, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we did a live stream watch along with this one. It was awesome, a ton of fun, but unfortunately didn't get the result we wanted, as the Rangers take this one by a final score of 3-1. And that wasn't even the biggest story coming out of this game, because Mikhail Sergachev and Eric Chernak both came back from injury, but Sergachev gets hurt again in this game. He stretchered off. You could clearly tell he was in a lot of pain. You hate to see for Sergachev, who just came back from injury and goes down again. And now could be out for, we have not received a timetable yet. We got official word. I think it was, you guys will have to remind me, I don't know exactly what it is. It was a fracture in two places, I think it was. But just really unfortunate for Sergachev, and the Lightning suffer the loss at the same time. So kind of a bummer of a game.
Yeah, it's a fracture on both the fibula and tibia of his leg, the lower portion of his leg. Looks ugly when it, you know, when he went back. But I was saying this during the watch along. You almost hope for it to be a bone fracture, because bones heal significantly faster than soft tissue. There's things that they can do to help speed it along too, like putting in screws, which I am 99% sure they said that they put in some screws and potentially a plate in order to get those bones to align and heal. And they'll be, they say that's going to be stronger than it was before the break. If it's soft tissue damage, that's something that can dramatically change a career, even, because it takes a long time for soft tissue to get back in. The timetable for something like that could be more than 6 months if you tear the right stuff in there. Broken leg, so this happened almost a week ago. It happened on Wednesday. Timetable for this, you know, really dependent on what other damage, but I've got a buddy that was back on skates 5 weeks after he broke his, because once it starts healing and gets back together and it's stable, he didn't start playing hockey again for a couple of months. And I have a feeling that probably will be the way it is for Sergei, unfortunately, where, you know, if it's 8 weeks before, you know, he's back on the ice, that, you know, even if it's 6 weeks, it'll still take several weeks for him to get back into skating shape. And that, you know, it's be right at the tail end of the season if he's 8 weeks from, you don't step on the ice.
Yeah, I thought I saw a report that said he was done for the season. You know, playoffs is a completely different question. You know, let's walk before we run. I don't think it was from the Lightning. It was probably a report. I can't exactly remember where I saw it from, but I mean, you just kind of feel so bad for the guy. You know, he had a rough start to the year, and he was finally kind of starting to find his game. He was playing better defensively. You know, he had a couple of goals like right before he went down, and you know, is that unfortunate ankle injury that you know, took him out for way longer than he expected. Do we know if it's the same leg or not? That would suck if he had that ankle injury that it finally gets all healed, and then it's that same or like a different leg or something. That
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest with you, but I think it was the same leg. I don't quote me on that though.
I don't know. Like, you know, you're losing both ways. It really does suck, and I feel so bad for the guy. But, you know, at least he is
got good pain meds.
Yeah, he's not having fun with it, but he's making light of the situation, which is the best thing you can do. You know, he's been real active on social media recently. That his little you know, public address announcement there, it was really funny. It was nice to see. You know, a lot of guys will just go ghost and you know, just do their own thing. But Sergei, we know he's kind of you know, the influencer part two. He's picking up where Alex Killorn left off a bit. So it's good to see that he's in good spirits about it. You know, that is very important, the way you you know, look at the situation that you're in. It seems like he's got a very positive outlook on it too. So wishing him just, you know, a quick and, you know, healthy recovery for him.
For those that don't know, he posted not too long.
It was like the day injury. After.
It was that. I'm pretty confident it was that evening.
Really? I think you're right. I think it was relatively quick that he posted it. And you could go check out the post for yourself. It's on his Instagram page. It's a very long caption, and he wrote a lot of things. It got a little weird at one point, and then there was a, you know, just, it was all over the place. You could clearly tell he was on a lot of pain meds because it was not something I don't think he would normally say. He did follow up later after the surgery. He posted a picture of him in a wheelchair in a cast with his, I believe it was his wife, saying that he is doing well and he's with family now. So he did another post following up that he's like, I'm doing good. But clearly he was on a lot of pain meds.
Yeah. I mean, and he was distraught. He was, totally upset, and, yeah, understandably so. But you know, injuries happen. You bounce back, and just look forward to him getting better. And best wishes for a speedy recovery.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is big for the Lightning, obviously, in a couple of ways that they're losing defender. And this changes a lot now trade deadline workings of, because if Sergachev is out for the entirety of the regular season, you know, that flexes a lot more cap space for the Lightning. We could run into another
over the cap
situation here with, like we did with Kucherov. So, hey, Matt, that's just another t-shirt that the Lightning can put out with Sergachev.
Yeah. So, $8 million over the cap.
No official timetable from the Lightning, but I would expect it to be close to the end of the regular season. I do want to get back to the actual.
I would guarantee he would not come back during the regular season. I'd 100% guarantee that.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, it's very unlikely. I'd be shocked if he didn't. But you know,
especially for the LTIR financial aspect.
Right.
Go enjoy Cabo.
LTIR, they're out for how long is it? Is it, if he goes on LTIR, I think he would be officially done for the rest of the regular season. I can't remember how many weeks it is.
No, it's LTIR. It's like 20. I think it's only like 3 weeks minimum. So like
okay, 20, so it's not as much as I thought. Okay.
It's 21 games, days.
24 days.
24 days. That's okay. What it
so not
is.
Nearly okay. As much as I thought. Still, like Joe mentioned, you know, those kind of injuries, maybe 8 weeks. So more than likely he'll be out the rest of the regular season. We won't speculate. Once we know official word from the Lightning, we'll of course keep you guys updated. Going back to the actual game, you know, the Lightning lose this one 3-1. It was a close game, though, for a majority of this. And Lightning had a lot of chances. They just couldn't convert on a lot of them. They didn't get a power play until very late in the game. And when they did, they just weren't able to sustain a lot of offensive pressure. But again, it was another one of those games that you look at, and it was very similar to before the Lightning started their winning streak, where it was, hey, they played all right, but they just couldn't get their chances that they were looking for. It was one of those games again. I don't know if you guys agree with me there, but I don't think they played terrible, and Vasi made some big saves in that game too to keep the Lightning in it.
It was a back and forth game. It was fun watching. You know, the first goal against that I'm pulling up who it was that beat Vasi was Vesey. And that was a goal that just was roofed backhand right over his shoulder. I think it was Kucherov tried a similar move going the other way, like in the previous shift or maybe even that shift, and just got bettered. It was a great goal to kick off the scoring there. And unfortunately, the Lightning weren't able to claw their way back, even though they, you know, I thought they played pretty well. Quick also, you know, played well in net for the Rangers. So, I mean, it was a good battle back and forth.
Yeah, it's a shame Shesterkin wasn't in net, because you know that we would have had an easy win there. No, I'm just kidding. The Rangers played really solid defense, surprisingly, because Trouba was in the lineup again. Another joke, sorry. no, objectively, the Rangers did play really good defense, and for whatever reason, the Lightning looked like they were on the back half of a back-to-back and not the first half after not playing for what, 8 or 9 days, something crazy like that. The energy level just was not there, and still it wasn't even the worst game of the week. It wasn't even the most lethargic game of the week by any stretch. To me, honestly, I'd put this as the most competitive game of the week, despite not coming out with the loss. I thought they looked their best. And despite the score being 3-1, I'm going to cheat. It was 3-2. They scored that goal at the very end of the game. I know time expired and everything, but I'm going to count it. I like to cheat here. They couldn't solve Quick. He made a couple of good saves. Vasilevsky kept him in the game for maybe longer than they should have. Couple of good chances, but yeah, New York really just it was really after that Sergei injury, all of the air got sucked out of, I guess, not sucked out of the building, but the wind out of the Lightning sails. Like, it really did change the entire complexion of that game. Nothing was really the same afterwards. And, you know, I can't really fault the guys. Sometimes you take that and use it as ammo and kind of, okay, let's rally around our guy who can't be with us. You know, we saw that in the playoffs a couple of years ago with Braden Point going down like that, you know, winning it in Game 7 for him. Unfortunately, that wasn't the case this time around. And the Rangers, they've had their troubles recently. Again, Shesterkin is kind of, you know, losing his starting job to Jonathan Quick. I know they played on a back-to-back. His job really isn't in that much danger, but Quick is playing way better than Shesterkin right now. That's got to be a factor. And Quick, I think I said this on the stream too. He's got one good year, he's one bad year, one good year, one bad year. Unfortunately, we got caught in a Quick good year. In a really good game. So I know I'm kind of, you know, talking about the Rangers a lot here, but they played a really good game. The Lightning just didn't have any answer for them, and the game just threw them a curveball, and they couldn't answer. You know, they could not make contact with that ball.
Well, Lightning, go ahead, Joe.
I was just going to say, you had said it, that the, you know, Lightning kind of lost the wind in their sails when Sergachev went down, and you'd feel it from the, you know, the, like the second period. It just, it felt kind of bland, if you will. The third period, though, they started pushing pretty hard, I thought, and actually did get on their horse and started riding through the game, carrying some momentum. Just, again, just wasn't quite enough.
Kuch nearly scored the goal of the year in that third period, where he made an unbelievable deep, but just missed it, unfortunately, and wasn't able to get it in. The Lightning also do have a history of not playing well after the All-Star break when they have so much time off. Everybody always talks about that debate of rest versus rust. It's always rust for the Lightning for some reason. It doesn't ever go well for them. But, Matt, you mentioned it wasn't even the worst game for the Lightning this week. The next game was the second half of a back-to-back. So the Lightning went and took on the New York Islanders, and they lose this one by a final score of 6-2. Jonas Johansson was in net, and sure, there were a couple of times where you're thinking, man, Johansson probably should have had that one, but there was also basically no defense in this game for the Lightning. They kind of reverted back to their so many defensive issues. I mean, there's too many to count in this one. It was a really, really ugly game. And it also got to that point too, you know, when the Islanders are up 5-1, I think it was, by one point, it's so hard to get back into that type of game. And the Lightning just never got anywhere close to getting some momentum back, even though they did technically kind of keep it close early. And then the Islanders just kind of ran away with it, but it never felt like that throughout the entirety of this game. Wasn't pretty.
I didn't get to watch a whole lot of this game, and maybe for the better. Somehow I'm always on the good end of the stick for these kind of games. I still got to watch plenty of goals go in against Jonas Johansson, but I was saying, against the Rangers, they looked like they were on the back half of a back-to-back. So I was thinking to myself, they're going to go onto Long Island and just wreck shop. You know, it's very rare that a good team like the Lightning loses both games on a back-to-back. So maybe they'll just, you know, recoup and go into a you beat us arena and maybe just wreck shop. Unfortunately, that was not the case. The Islanders had their way with us. I probably only watched maybe 20 minutes of 60 minutes of this game, so I can't attest to what, you know, the full 60 looked like, but every time I opened up my iPad in this car ride, it got closed pretty soon after. I know they made it close early in the second period. I think it was Brandon Hagel that brought the score to 3-2, I believe. And it just snowballed from there. I mean, Patrick Waugh, as their new head coach, he's got this team playing a very different style of Islanders hockey, as we've seen. Like, you know, you would not expect the final score to be 6-2, Islanders versus Tampa. You know, we're all expecting 1-0 or 2-3 or something like that. 6-2, they really let the floodgates open. And I know it's one of the easiest yet hardest jobs in the world backing up Andre Vasilevsky. You know, you don't have to play for weeks at a time, but you don't get to play for weeks at a time. Just like everybody else on the Lightning, the rest does not do them good. Jonas Johansson, you know, despite putting up a decent effort, there were a couple of goals that I got to see that were less than favorable that got past him. I can't remember off the top of my head, but it wasn't his greatest game, but he's not the only one that I'm going to be pointing fingers at. It was just a collective effort of not everybody, but just nobody was really buying into that game. That was the vibe that I got. Am I, you know, in the ballpark, Joe?
I don't disagree with anything that you're saying here. And this was a game that could have been important for the standings as well, because, you know, the Islanders are in this wild card race, and there's so many teams that still are viable candidates to get those last two playoff spots.
Such a tight race.
It's one of the tightest that I can really remember seeing in a while. And maybe part of that is because we've been spoiled for the last almost decade with the Lightning being in a one or two spot pretty well locked in for the division. The Islanders, though, you know, if they've won $1 million, they decided to blow their entire wad on the Lightning, because they are 3-5-2 in their last 10. They lost the last game that they played. They're currently, their goal differential is -21. And unfortunately, in a game where the points matter, the Lightning just weren't able to have a very good showing. again, you can blame it on it being the second part of a back-to-back and missing out on having Sergachev. You know, Chernak looked kind of rough in times as well, and you know, maybe he needed some more reps. But you know, you got to take these important point games and you know, really start to dictate your playoff picture yourself instead of asking for help. Luckily, they are getting help from other teams because the Islanders, like I said, lost the last one. But I'm not going to say it was an embarrassing performance by the Lightning, but they just got completely, they got bunches of goals scored on them, especially in that second period, and that just ended it. There was nothing left to be done in that game with the Islanders. And I mean, they only got a total of 3 shots on goal for the first period even. So, you know, wash your hands of it and I guess just keep your head held high and move on to the next one.
Cooper mentioned it, Joe, too. He was talking about how, you know, he was very frustrated after the game and saying that basically, like, listen, the Lightning went on this huge winning streak right before the All-Star break and put themselves in such a better spot, as we talked about on this podcast. And then you go and lose these 2 huge games and you put yourself right back where you were before the winning streak again. You just kind of eliminate a lot of what you did to put yourselves in a better position. So, tough loss. Luckily, things got better for the Lightning as they took on the Columbus Blue Jackets, who have not been a good team this year, but they took care of business when they needed to. And this was a mostly dominant game for the Lightning. They were leading it pretty much the entire time until late in that third period where Columbus started to come back a little bit. They got some momentum. They scored a power play goal. There was also a 5-minute major that was called and then reviewed and then taken away, which would have put this game, you know, out. It would have been done and the Columbus would have never scored those goals. But for the majority of the game, it felt like the Lightning really took care of business, got a much needed 2 points and got out of the Columbus with a win, which has put them currently 3rd in the Atlantic Division right now. Now, Toronto does have 3 games in hand on the Lightning. Even Detroit has 2. So they're not going to stay there. But, you know, again, 2 big 2 points right there.
Let's talk about that 5-minute major that was called and then reversed. Icy is a pain in the ass. I love him to death. Isamon, it just really knows how to get under guys' skins. He's tenacious. He fights hard. He fights a little bit dirty. It's one of the reasons why I think Janot is a perfect line mate for him, is because he's always there to back up. You know, it's like having a little brother that's starting a fight and you're there to, you know, to back him up. As
oh, I love
brother.
That.
That's great.
Yeah. And that's kind of what happened. Isamont gave a little bit of a shove to the player
Severson,
and Severson turned around and gave him a cross check up high that you know, you can say that Isamont got his hands out there to deflect it up into his own face. To me, it looked like the direction that was always going to be traveling was going to be up in the upper chest, chin, head area. But after a review, they decided that no, it was just going to be a roughing, I think they called it. They called it a cross check and a rough. Either way, both guys got a total of 4 minutes coincidentals, and you know, the game went on.
This didn't make much sense to me either. I was a little occupied while this was all going on, so I didn't. I wasn't around for the penalty announcement. I was under the impression that Severson was gone and out of the game. So when I got to come back to my seat and see him playing on the ice a few minutes later, I was like, what's going on? Where's this power play? I did not understand it. And I can understand the part where, yeah, Asimont threw his hands up a bit and maybe the stick got to ride up on his arm or up his hands or something and make it look worse than what it was. It was still a clear and blatant cross check. They didn't call Asimont slash that's, I guess, started the whole thing. It's a harmless play. They're not going to call that. I think at the very least, we should have ended up on the power play because, yeah, if I'm not mistaken, we're at even strength heading out of that.
They did, because they called it was both guys got 2 2-minute penalties. I think both got roughing, and then I think Isamont got a cross check, and I think the other guy got a cross check as well. They evened out to 4 minutes.
That doesn't make any sense to me. I will say we did probably get the better calls this game. Like that one, yeah, it did kind of go against us. But there were a couple of incidents where I was surprised we got away with a couple of penalties as well. I know, I don't know if we want to stick on this topic or not, if I'm going too far out, but Darren Radish, he had a bit. Somehow we ended up on the power play out of that. It was like a scrum in the corner or something, if you guys can remember it. I was.
He lost his stick and he.
He headlocked the dude. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he didn't hold on.
I don't know. I was a little surprised and that we didn't, you know, end up on the penalty kill from that and somehow ended up on the power play from it. And that's just one example. There were a couple of other things that I think the Lightning got away with. And towards the end of the game, it really did start to even out like this. I guess it is a part of it, but I don't know. I really think that at the very, very, very minimum least, Damon Severson should have been in the box for two extra minutes. I don't know. Maybe 5 minutes is a bit egregious, but I just can't understand why the penalties even out. I guess that's what I took away.
I mean, for two teams that aren't in a race at all, and you know, don't really have, I don't think they have that much history outside of the 18-19 season, which was just one playoff series. You know, there's a lot more history with other teams. There is, you know, quite a few scrums, quite a bit of rough hockey between the both sides, and I was a little bit surprised to see that out of the guys. But it seems like this has been one of the years that when things get rough and physical, the Lightning more than hold their own, and then you know the other team ends up getting themselves out of position trying to make a hit, and that is what turns around a game and allows for, you know, a goal to be scored for more skilled guys. And actually that's the way the
that's how Sorelli scored.
The first goal was scored was, you know, someone trying to lay a big hit on Hagel, and he sprung Sorelli when the last defenseman back stepped up on him and gave Sorelli a breakaway basically from center ice on end, one of the furthest distances you're going to skate with the puck by yourself.
That was like my signature move. It is my signature move in like NHL, like the video games. Oh dude, just like if it's I'm going to eliminate the guy even if it's going to cause a breakaway. Oh my god, I'm so bad.
Just
on
hit
defense.
That check button.
Oh dude, literally I said it to myself. I'm like, Provorov, what are you doing, dude? Like, what a dumb play. And I was like, I'm making that play 99 times out of 100 on EASHL or whatever. But I got to be honest, I didn't like this game all that much. I did not like how the Lightning played. I thought they were soft, and I thought they got hemmed in their zone a whole bunch. Great. You know, they were dominant from, you know, minutes, you know, 10 in the first to, you know, late in the second. But that third period, things really were going Columbus's way, and they were playing a lot in our zone. I don't know. I don't know if I'm being very critical because of the rough week that we had before. I thought, like, despite it being the only win we're talking about this week, and despite there being some really good moments of dominant hockey, Columbus had their way with us, and they got a bit unlucky in certain scenarios. I think there were a couple of posts they hit. There was some guy in net named Andre was playing very, very good hockey and bailing us out. I thought this was his best game of the week, one of his better games this season. He bailed them out a lot this game, in my opinion. I was a bit unhappy watching it. I thought there was just not, they weren't physical, they weren't fast, they weren't going in the corners, they weren't going up against the boards. Like the board battles, Columbus was winning a lot of them. The, you know, the second period, the middle of the game, Lightning were playing great, but the bookends, I thought they were a bit rough. I might be being a little hard.
Well, Matt, that's kind of why I brought up the officiating in the first place, right? Is because, not to say that, to complain about the officiating because Lightning ended up winning this game, but to show that, you know, it was a very weird officiating. And I thought that's kind of why Columbus got a lot of the momentum that they did. Because again, if that 5 minute major is called, it's a completely different score in the way that game finishes. Columbus probably doesn't get any of that momentum that they did. I thought before that, and Vasilevskiy did play extremely well, made a lot of big saves in this game, even though the Columbus scored late a couple times. But I thought for that first, second period, and like Joe said, they played physical, and that's usually when they've been playing their best. I mean, heck, you look at who the Lightning have acquired over the last couple of years, Janot, Isimont, even Goodrow and Coleman, you know, very shut down, physical, tough guys. Every year, the Lightning go out and get bigger guys.
I don't think they were. Well. I don't think they were playing physical. I thought Columbus was having, like, their defensemen and their checking forwards. I thought they were having their way with us. How many times did you hear Eric Goodbranson or Matthew Olivier, even the Provorov hit, despite it leading directly to a breakaway goal? It was still a big hit. It could have been a big, big hit. I thought they were taking just any opportunity they could just to beat us down. Then they're really
Chernak had a really big hit too coming in.
He did.
Lilleberg had another really solid hit on the guy, and I mean they were playing. When I say they, Columbus was playing physical and hitting hard, but I don't think that was necessarily dictating play very much.
It wasn't.
Yeah, and. Yeah, the third period, they pushed back for sure. And, you know, the two goals that were scored, we can look at them and break them down. Hedman ended up getting away from his little spot. You know, if we talk about the house that they make when they're in the defensive zone, he got away from his post, went up to, on both of them, basically attack a guy that was near the faceoff dot, and nobody covered on the back door. One of them was point that definitely should have prevented the first. They're like mirror image goals that Columbus scored there. But outside of those goals, a lot of time when they had possession in the zone, how many times did you see them do like a little give and go or just, you know, a harmless crisscross routes where they drop the puck for another guy and just keep perimeter games? And they when they were established, they were maintaining possession really well, but I don't feel like they had a ton of dangerous opportunities. On the rush, they had a number.
Are you talking about Columbus or the Lightning?
Columbus.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah. So I don't think they had, even though they had a lot of possession, they're kind of wearing themselves out, you know, for a lot of it, rather than getting towards the front of the net. And again, those two examples, they finally were able to find the seam that they needed in order to score the goals. But the Lightning were kind of playing a bend, don't break style of defense in order to close the game out.
Yeah, but that's not a style of defense that you can really rely on. And this is against Columbus. What are you going to do when we play Boston? That's our next game. Like, I get this might be a flash in the pan moment. We've gotten better with the whole defensive system as the year has gone on. But I don't know. To me, not inexcusable, but like, again, you can't rely on that style of defense when you're getting hemmed in. Yeah, you're keeping everything to the outside. You're still gassing yourself. You're getting tired out there just because you can't get the puck out. You're making silly plays. Yeah, they're not getting quality shots off, but everybody's getting, you know, more and more and more tired as the shifts get longer and you're getting hemmed in your zone. Columbus, they're changing guys, you know, onto the ice. I don't know. It's just not a sustainable way to play defense. And I know it's not a huge issue, and it was really only an issue in certain spots. But how – I don't know. I might just be so offended by it because it's Columbus. They're a bottom-feeder team, and I've got such a vendetta against them. I'll never forgive them for 2019. But I just thought, like, they – I know they're on a long road trip against, you know, some good teams in New York. but – it got under my skin. That's why I had to make a note of it.
I think
I'm going to make a note too. Of the three games that we've covered, the one that he's most pissed off and passionate about is the one that we won.
Classic Matt there for you. But no, listen, I understand. And you're right. Listen, it wasn't a perfect game by any means for the Lightning. I mean, there was a lot of things to correct in that one, but it's one where you do get the win. And they held Columbus off for that entire game until Columbus got all that momentum from the power play and not getting the 5-minute major. So, and the big thing was you do get the 2 points in that one, which a lot of that winning streak kind of felt like that. Yeah, the Lightning never played any perfect games, I feel like, in that long win streak that they went on, but they played well enough to where they were getting 2 points, which is what they needed right there. But, you know, at the end of the day, that's the one they get the 2 points, and it was a big 2 points for the Lightning, much needed after losing back-to-back games. Let's get to some of our three stars of the week, because there were, you know, you had that really rough game against the Islanders, which, you know, made the stats definitely look nowhere near as good as they definitely could have been. But there were a couple of players that did stand out in this one. And we're going to start off with our number three star, which is going to go to Andre Vasilevskiy, who played a very solid week. Only played in the two games because of the back-to-back, but a .931 save percentage and a 2.02 goals against average. So, again, Vasilevskiy, a guy that has come back from back surgery, which blows my mind every time I talk about it, and he's played very well. He's been playing right where a lot of the other guys have been when it comes to the stats. We mentioned it in the game recaps, you know, made some big saves in these games to keep the Lightning in it and help Lightning get the win in that Columbus game. Joe, your thoughts on Vasilevskiy?
Muted.
Man, I got a little mute button and I keep hitting and it's not shutting itself off. How did you come up with a 2.02 goals against average? Where did that number come from?
That is the stat that I have on NHL.com, unless NHL.
So is it because he came off the? Is that come out because he came off the ice for the? What do they divide the ice time? So he had two goals allowed in the 58 minutes and 35 seconds for the Rangers game. So if you do the math for the full 60, is that where you get the 0.02? If he would have continued playing the rest of that game, does that make sense to you guys? Understand what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but I don't think they keep stats like that.
I mean, how is he going to get a 0.02 when he allowed four goals in two games?
I see what you're saying. Honestly,
is it because they weren't full games?
Honestly, I don't know exactly how they pull out that. I think it must have to do with the time on ice because of
him
getting pulled. That's got to be what it is.
All right, well, sorry to digress there. But I thought Vassy, you know, made some really incredible saves, especially against Columbus to hold them in. There were some really good chances. There is the one of the plays where, you know, he was really acrobatic when the initial save. He slid a big leg out to the other side for the rebound, which you know, maybe had the Columbus shooter gripping his stick a little tight, seeing the leg come across, so he missed the net. But then it went back the other way for a shot in the slot, and as he's recovering, he gloves it. I think that he just kind of laid on his face for about 5 or 6 seconds to regather his breath after that sequence. He played really strong and was big when the Bolts needed him in the Columbus game. And honestly, he played really well in the Rangers game too. You know, if you hold the Rangers to two goals, you know, that's a big thing. And, you know, the empty net obviously sunk the ship, but you know, he kept them in there to be only have a one goal deficit, and you know, the Lightning just didn't pull out the win for him when, you know, he played definitely, as you said, Matt, well enough to beat Shesterkin at least.
No, I know I'm kind of, you know, using this card a little too much now, especially with two goals. This Columbus game really felt like a shutout to me. Like, I know it was really close at the end. Neither of those goals I'm going to put on him at all. No goalie's going to save those goals. It's a tip right in front, darn near in the blue paint. Like, there's not a whole lot you can do about that when you've got weak coverage in front. I thought he played fantastic in that Columbus game. Again, nothing you're going to do about those two goals, but he really, really saved our bacon when we needed it. Going back to some of that sustained pressure, there were some really good chances off the rush. And like what you were talking about, Joe, that, you know, crazy flurry of saves. I guess that first big pad save didn't really quite hit the net, but that glove save, just to, you know, remain calm and, you know, see Zach Werenski, a very, very, very good player, coming down the slot with a great chance with a pretty much a wide open net, just flash the glove like that. Man, that was great. I was hype here in my living room. And yeah, and the Rangers game as well. Keeping the Rangers to two goals is not an easy stat to do. This year, they've been a kind of all offense, you know, and defense, and just rely on Jonathan Quick kind of team this year. Keeping them to two goals is, you know, it's a really good stat in and of itself, especially in MSG. He kept us in that game for longer than we needed to be. You know, how much can I say about what he did this week? He kept us in games for longer than way longer than we really should have been.
Yeah, and when of the four goals, you know, he got sniped with a beauty of a backhand for, you know, to start the week, and then the other three were complete defensive lapses, and you know, he survived through some other defensive lapses throughout the week and was able to fend those off. Those three that were went in, I, you know, definitely wouldn't put on him, especially in the, you know, redirected pucks in the slot essentially for all three, one being a one-timer.
Yeah, and the Jimmy VC goal, it was just a good goal. So like, it was just a really, really good.
Is pretty sweet. I'm like,
I hate to compliment the Rangers.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, you hate to compliment the Rangers. What are you talking about? You love commenting other players. I don't know.
Other players, not the Rangers, man. I know where to draw the line.
Here it comes. Is he on your fantasy team?
No, not Jimmy VC. No.
No. It could be a Rangers player. Well, that's why
I know where to draw the line.
That's why Vassy gets the third star of the week. He was really solid and had a great week, even though if he gets a weird goals against average because of time on ice, who knows? But let's go to our number two star of the week. And hold on, guys. Is this right? He's the number two star of the week this week? It's Nikita Kucherov, who's our number two star of the week. He had a fantastic week again, as he always does. A goal and three assists for 4 points was a minus two. He continues to lead the NHL in points, now at 89 on the season, starting to pull away from Nathan MacKinnon a little bit. But Kucherov, fantastic week, as it always is. Matt, I'll start with you. Your thoughts on the great magician, Nikita Kucherov.
Can we just clip whatever the last time, you know, we were talking about Kucherov or whatever?
Replay that segment part again.
No, I really just don't have anything new to say, man. He's the, as Joe said it in the before the game, he's the lifeblood of this team. This team goes nowhere without him, which it's great that, you know, he's dragging this team, you know, by his lonesome, but it also kind of sucks that this team can't do anything without him, which just, you know, cements. If this team can't do anything without him, he is the most valuable player to his team. If I were eligible to be voting on the Hart Trophy, I would cast I would cast my vote for Nikita Kucherov yesterday. I would have done it in, you know, September before the season started. Like, it is just clearly unfair how much he means to this team. You take away MacKinnon from the Avalanche, they're still going to win games. I bet you they'd win 7 of 10 games without MacKinnon, who is actually day to day right now. So not cheering for any kind of injury or anything, but you know, let's let Kucha, you know, put some extra ground between him and MacKinnon. We want some extra hardware. But again, what more can you say about the dude? He is dragging us with every bit of his strength to the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's revisit the MacKinnon thing here in a couple of minutes. Cause I do want to talk about that. I mean, we'll have a good opportunity as we talk about the road ahead. But yeah, looking at his stats, he still just continues to impress with what he's doing. You know, when you lose by 4 or 5 goals, and, you know, he was a minus one given the fact that he had 20 minutes of ice time for the Islanders, I mean, he's still doing his part and he's continuing his point streak. So he's got more games with like 3 points than he does games with no points. He just
more, you know, multi-point games. Yeah,
that's a Wayne Gretzky stat or something.
Yeah, and even in the, was it the Rangers game where he passed it to Chernak, who then got it to Hagel for Hagel's goal? It was a really smart play. I think that was the opening goal for the Rangers game. If not, is against New York. I should have just said that, right? would have been correct one way or another. I mean, it's just smart play, and, you know, to be able to find guys in open ice. We've said it all 1,000 times, and this week he continues to deliver.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. It's why we call it the Nikita Kucherov 3 stars of the week. But there was one guy who was, I would say, and we would say, a little more impressive than he was. And he's been on this list before. He's a guy that we've said, we said on the live stream, is maybe a potential future captain for the Lightning. But the number one star of the week goes to Brandon Hagel, who had a great week, 3 goals, 2 assists for 5 points, and was a plus two. He was only one of two guys to have a plus this week after that brutal Islanders game that the Lightning had. But Brandon Hagel, number one star of the week. You guys know how much I love Brandon Hagel. He's just such a hustler out there on the ice. He's all over the place. He's very vocal as well out there. And he had another fantastic week, even though one of his goals came as an empty netter. I believe he's on a 5 or 16-point streak, which is tied the highest of his career right now. So he's going to be looking to break that record in the Lightning's next game. But Hagel on a fantastic streak right now. Joe, what do you think about Hagel?
Yeah, can confirm. That's 6 games with a point and 6 goals in 6 games. There is the New Jersey Devil game that he scored two in. And since that game, he's had a goal in every single game. Was it the Columbus game? That was an empty netter, right?
Yes.
Columbus one was an empty
Cooch,
netter.
That Cooch passed over to him. But first of all, Cooch doesn't shoot on those. He's a pass first type of guy. But also, you know, I'd like to think of that as almost recognition for the effort that Hagel was putting in. That, you know, Cooch.
Hey, the greats got to score empty nets too.
Well, you know, Cooch knew how much Hagel was impacting the game, making an effort. That initial take a hit to make a play and then spring Sorelli, that's such a selfless thing to do, because you know it's, you know, you're going to be taking a pretty sizable hit the way that defenseman turned into him. And, you know, you're sacrificing for your team. You're working hard. Cooch gives him an empty net goal, and it's one that was honestly one of the more well-deserved goals of the week, I think, because, you know, he worked his butt off, you know, for all three games, and you know, really like him being the first star.
Don't look now, but this is turning into one of the better, like, top five trades in Lightning history. Oh, like, yeah. It might not be Sergachev for Drouin or Kyle Quincy for the pick that, you know, got Vasilevsky or anything, but I was looking the other day. I was looking at the Chicago Blackhawks. I was looking at some of their players, and Taylor Radish. I liked Taylor Radish from the very, you know, few games we got to see him. He turned into a 20-goal scorer in Chicago. How hard is that to do? That's pretty darn difficult. This year, he is not having a great year. So I was kind of, like, upset. I was like, man, you know, Hagel, he's great. He's a 30-goal scorer. He's everywhere on the ice, but, man, it'd be nice to have Taylor Radish. He's having a real bad year. Darren Radish has double his points with, you know, as a defenseman. Yeah, I think actually over double his points, something like that. Like, it's working out very good for us. Who knows what the first round picks are going to turn into? Not my problem. Don't care. Brandon Hagel is such a fantastic player. We won this trade 10 times over. It's crazy to think that he almost went to Toronto. What does this team look like if Brandon Hagel's on a different team? Like, he is such an X-factor kind of player. Again, everywhere on the ice, he's, you know, forechecking. If he's not forechecking, he's ready for, you know, ready for a pass, or he's scoring a goal, or he's backchecking or something. He does it all. And, man, he like you said, Joe, he was rewarded for all his hard work, you know, even with, you know, empty net goals. You know, guys notice. Guys like Cooch notice. Guys like Coop notice. Guys like JBB notice. They know how good this player is. They know how good he's been playing. Like, again, this is turning into the Nikita Kucherov and Brandon Hagel, you know, stars of the week. What more can I say about this guy? How many times can I say Honey Badger or Buzzsaw? He's just all, like, I'm running out of buzzwords to say about him. I guess I got to open up, like, a encyclopedia or something.
Thesaurus.
Thesaurus, that's what it is.
So, you know, much like last season, he's actually on pace right now for 29 goals. So if he keeps it up, then, you know, he'd be right there at that 30 mark again. And actually 74 points.
And again, like you mentioned, Matt, you know, it's not just the goal scoring. Like, he's a goal scorer. He's a hard worker. He draws penalties. He's really good on breakaway / penalty shots. I wish he'd work with Cooch on that a little bit, but he's such a fantastic player. And yeah, that trade is looking great for the Lightning right now. Even those first round picks turn into something. I mean, Hagel's a guy who's not going anywhere, right? So he's going to be a guy with the Lightning for a while. And it's been really nice to see him play so well, and that's why he gets the number one star of the week. All right, let's look ahead at for the Lightning coming up here. They've got four games. The next one of those four games on Monday, we'll be recording our next podcast, but we'll include that one in here. Their next game is against the Boston Bruins at 7 p.m. Eastern at TD Garden. It's the last of this road trip. It's probably one of the bigger games when you look at the Bruins in the standings. They're the top team in the Atlantic Division with 73 points, although they've lost their last two out of three games, so they've been on a little bit of a colder streak as of late, but big game as a division rival like it always is. And then the Lightning will come back home, which is where we'll start to see the Lightning's new third jersey, starting off with the Colorado Avalanche, and they have not played particularly well late their last 10. They're only 4-5-1. And then they're going to have the Florida Panthers on Saturday, and then the Ottawa Senators on Monday the 19th. The Panthers game, I should mention too, is at 5 p.m. Eastern. So a little bit of a weird start time on that one. But one more road game and then back home for a road trip here for the Lightning. Joe, I'll start with you. What are your thoughts on this Lightning's upcoming schedule?
I mean, it's going to be weird to say, but the Boston Bruins game is the one that I probably care least about. It's a divisional rival, but it's not a team that we can really catch for points.
Right.
And shouldn't be the target. The Panthers one's exceptionally important. That's one that literally could make or break the season down the road. You don't want to be looking back, missing the 4-point swing that you could have had on them if they drop that game. So that one's going to be absolutely key, of course. But I was trying to pull up just now. Did you one of you guys said that McKinnon is not...
Matt said he was day-to-day.
My fantasy app told me he was day-to-day.
Okay, I'm still trying to pull that up. But if that's the case, you know, I was looking forward to Thursday. I'm going to the game Thursday and seeing a little bit of McKinnon versus Cooch for who's got the point lead in the NHL. And I thought that would be kind of a fun matchup. Plus a always, you know, recent Stanley Cup rematches are something that I keep an eye on when it comes to our Bolts too.
So we've got four games this week. Which ones are there's got to be a back-to-back in there, right?
There is not. No back-to-back.
Okay.
Well, just because there's one on Monday.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay. Whatever. I'll take four games in a week. That's no problem by me. No, this is a bit of a gauntlet. You know, Boston, Colorado, Florida, and Ottawa. this is going to be a tough week. And, yeah, there might not be any implications with Boston. You're not going to be, you know, taking points for them. And kind of the same thing with Florida. They're really starting to run away with things. But regardless, divisional points are divisional points. You're going to want to come away with them, especially this Boston game is going to be a very, very interesting one. They just got shut out in their last loss. Yeah, their last loss. They're going to be coming out swinging. They're going to be angry and they're going to want to impose their will. And it's going to be at TD Garden. It's a loud building. It's a hard building to play in. I didn't know Colorado had such a bad record in their last 10. I guess, you know, they're really living up to the Colorado average Lange name.
so. Hey, they beat us in the finals, man. You can't be too mean to them.
I'll be mean to them. this is a bit of a gauntlet. Of course, the Senators, you don't really have to worry about them either. But I don't know.
Eureka, our producer, just chimed in that he's got his finger on the dump call button too.
I always forget Eureka's an Avs fan too. I
pulled it up because I knew he's going to have to say something.
I just learned that the other day, the Colorado average Lanch. I love that. But yeah, I mean, a bunch of good, very entertaining games. Like, you know, no hockey game is boring, but these are all going to be good games. And even the Senators game, these games get out of hand. They get ugly quick. So hopefully we can come out of this, you know, better than we did this week. You know, hopefully we can be on the winning end and not just talk about one win versus two losses. Hopefully we can stay healthy as well. That's a huge factor coming down the stretch.
Joe, you mentioned the injury to McKinnon. I'm looking it up here, and I did find that so he was hurt in the loss to the Capitals, and there's a video of it, and he kind of just fell right on his face, right down. And he tripped over like the back of the net and then fell on his face. It's a weird injury. He was shaken up, and I would understand why he's day to day. So it's something to keep our eye on. There's no official word on whether he's not playing.
You're telling me the Hart Trophy race is between the best player in the world and a guy who doesn't know how to skate around a net. Come on, well, come on.
It was an unfortunate, I don't know exactly what caused him to fall, but he fell straight on it. He was coming around the back of the net and then fell straight on his face. Weird play. But we'll have to see if McKinnon does. Joe just saw it. Did you see it?
Yeah, so he's going around the back of the net, gets a little bit of a bump from one of the Panthers players as he's rounding it, so he gets his skates caught on the net itself, and then it looks like maybe he got his stick hand caught on the net too, so he can't really brace his fall. Doesn't look like a fun one.
Sure did.
He tries reaching for the post and just straight up misses the post in order to brace his fall, and just kind of looks like he just does like a swan dive right face first into the ice.
Honestly, I hope he's back in time, because like you said, Joe, it's always fun to watch, you know, the two big NHL point leaders fighting it out in a game like that. You never want to see injuries, obviously.
Unless he's concussed, then I'm sure he's going to be back, because, I mean, most guys This happened with 11 minutes left in the game. So maybe he went back to get some repairs, and they're already down by three goals. So by the time he was able to come back out, he didn't. But I'm sure he'll be okay. Watch the replay, though. It looks it literally looks like he just opens his arms up, goes for a big swan dive, and eats a whole bunch of ice.
Yeah, not a pretty injury, that's for sure. Well, we'll have to wait and see if he plays in that game. You guys, you know, talked about it. It's the Boston, even the Florida game a little bit. Those are tough teams to catch, but you know, nonetheless, obviously the points are still very important, not only because they're divisional, but the Lightning are still in that such a tight race in this Eastern Conference. So you got to get back on that winning streak. Hopefully they can get back to their winning ways. And I just want to beat Boston because if you guys didn't see, their three of their players were pictured wearing Taylor Swift shirts
in
the Super Bowl. So just more reason that you want the Boston Bruins to lose in that next game. But big week coming up for the Lightning. They've got a lot of tough opponents, as you mentioned. And we'll have all the coverage right here for you guys at RBR Lightning, at RBLR Sports. So make sure you like and subscribe so you don't miss out on next week's episode when we recap all of those games and so much more. And be on the lookout for that next watch along. We'll get to hopefully one of those very, very soon. So that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you guys so much for Go Bolts.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.